Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
Well, I mean, at least they're on the right side of it tonight, right?
If they were on the other side of this game, I would stop watching them for the rest of the season.
That was... Today's Wednesday? Today's Wednesday. Yeah. Tuesday's game was gross. But, I mean...
Tuesday's game was gross, but I think it was also shocking. They just seemed like they got really outplayed by a Heat team that didn't have Jimmy Butler. And, I don't want to say a better team, but a team that's just as good as them, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you said it the other day that the Heat were the better team in the bubble right now, but the Nets were coming off a back-to-back, which the Celtics should win that every single time. And I don't care about this no travel or whatever. You know guys get tired off back-to-backs. And then on top of that, they had just played the Bucks and obviously played their asses off because they upset them. But this is – watching the entire game, it's like, wow. I mean, how do you stay focused on this the entire time? There's only two things that we can kind of take out of this game for the Celtics, I would say, right? Just Romeo and Time Lord, right, where they kind of stand in all this.
Yeah, I guess I have two parts to it. I'd say one, I thought Romeo Langford looked good and Time Lord looked good at different parts of the game. I still don't think he's a really great defender. I know he's a good shot blocker, but I don't think he's a great solid. Like, he's not as solid as Tice is.
No, he's not as good man-to-man.
Yeah, and he's not good at guarding pick and rolls, which is kind of weird because he's athletic. He just doesn't take the right angles. But anyway, it makes me wonder, though, why aren't these guys playing in the other games? Why? I mean, it's hard to – I think they look great against the Nets, but, I mean, they're literally playing a JV basketball team. So
right. That entire team – pretty much that entire group spent time in the G League this year. There are a few exceptions. Yeah. It's pretty much LeVert, Jared Allen, Garrett Temple, Joe Harris – and there's somebody else that I'm missing that didn't log minutes in the G League this year. So that's what they're supposed to do in that game, which is why everybody else's performance for the Celtics, it doesn't really matter because you did what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to kick the tar out of them. But with Time Lord, yeah, I mean, I'm more intrigued by what Romeo Langford did tonight because you talk about how Time Lord can't play, he isn't doing so great man-to-man and everything and off the pick and roll. And that's I don't disagree with that. I think he's better, you know, coming off the weak side and blocking shots and being a threat and everything. But Romeo Langford, we saw him get a couple strips, make a couple good passes. I mean, this is the kind of guy that we want Semi Ojeleye to be. And I know it's against the Nets, but Romeo's got to start somewhere. And I think he earned another opportunity next game to log serious minutes. I'm not saying six man, but serious minutes.
I agree with you. I think he's got to be the guy coming off, not the first guy. Obviously, if you have all your starters, it's going to be Marcus Smart, but I think he's earned it. I mean, at this point, even Semi Ojeleye look horrible in the few stretches he had tonight against the Nets. Like, I just think I know you like him and stuff. I think it's over for him, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I like him because of what we think he can be, what he should be because of how much he works at his game and everything, but he's not scoring and he's not defending. So if you're not doing either one of those things, then what the hell's the point? I think that they're, even then, I want to say, oh, he could do certain things down the line, but he hasn't done them much, Matt. Romeo Langford proved that he can at least do – he can at least defend tonight. And at least, you know, he can go and not – he's not going to go and create a ton of offense, but he's not just going to hang around the perimeter like Ojeleye did and then not hit shots and not be a legitimate option. And tonight, honestly, too, I'm watching Ojeleye, and he took 1-3 real deep. And when he took that, I don't know if you thought the same thing. I was like, he's starting to feel it now. He's seen what Romeo's doing, and he's feeling like he's got to prove himself a little bit because he's done nothing.
He hasn't done anything. And then, I don't know, I think obviously at the end of this eight-game end of regular season thing, I mean, the benches get – the rotations are tighter in the playoffs. So, I mean, I think obviously Brad's experimenting. But I just can't watch another game when they have, like, a lineup where it's like – it's usually just, like, either Brown or Tatum. It's one of those two surrounded by, like, Semi, Wanamaker, Smart – you know, like I can't watch that. Like that lineup is not going to work in the playoffs. I think at the end of the day, perfect scenario of Kemba's healthy. You always got to have either you got to have Kemba, Tatum, Brown, and what did I miss? Who did I miss? And Gordon. One of the two of those guys always have to be on the court.
Right. So that was actually the lineup that I was scratching my head over tonight was Wanamaker, Time Lord, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and then Romeo Langford. And I know Langford ended up being plus 22 pretty much by the end of that, but that's essentially the same lineup we've seen, except he goes and puts Wanamaker out there with Grant Williams. Did we see him at all tonight?
I didn't see him. I mean, I don't remember seeing him. Fourth quarter, I kind of wasn't really paying as much attention to the game, but I didn't. I'm telling you,
you didn't miss much, Matt.
There's something.
6 minutes.
There's something up with him, I think. He doesn't look like Ty said the other night. He's had a good rookie season. He just he looks like he's never played basketball. I mean, at least last game, it was like, wow.
Yes.
I mean, Tyler Hero made him stumble. I don't even know if Tyler Hero made a move.
It was not much of a move. Yeah. It was a very soft step back.
It was scary. I mean, it's scary. I don't know if it's the bubble thing, but yeah, I would say Langford has given himself a shot to be, you know, thought as in that. To me, like, if you're going to probably have an 8-9 man rotation in the playoffs. So
right. But what we can't keep seeing is, look, the whole – that's all good about Langford and Time Lord. I mean, maybe he deserves another chance, but I don't think it's necessarily in the same capacity. But we can't see those two, and then you put Brad Wanamaker out there, and then it's just – what was it, Jaylen Brown, I said, is out there left to be the only guy. I mean, Marcus Smart is in your second best offensive player out there. You can't do that. I don't know why Brad continues to do that. It was more effective tonight, but that's something that when you look at who you're playing, that's not effective. I mean, it's effective against them, but it's not going to be effective against the Heat or anybody else. And I don't get why he's so married to that idea. Yeah. Because maybe it'll be a decent defensive group because Wanamaker can switch because he's thick. And then obviously you have and Langford who's long and quick and everything. But I mean, you can only lock down the team so much. You're not dealing with, you know, Marcus Smart, like Mutombo and all these elite defenders out there at once. It's just solid bench defenders. Yeah, that's
it. But at the end of the day, if you want to, I mean, you want to go on runs and stuff. You can't go on runs. You can play defense, but at some point you got to score. It's not like you're putting that lineup and be like, "Oh, we're not going to give up any points for the next 5 minutes."
Right.
That's why I said I in his rotations, you have to have one of those top four guys in the lineup. I've thought about, and if that's not what he wants to do because of however they do the rotations, then like either Gordon, because I can't see them not. So obviously, Kemba's going to start, and obviously Brown and Tatum are going to start, and Gordon's his guy. I'm not trying to say Gordon deserves to come off the bench, but he needs to do something where, like, they have to be in the game. They can't leave only one guy out there. And that's maybe it's being affected by Kemba being hurt, and they're just kind of, like, obviously playing guys in different minutes. But come playoff time, I'm telling you, if they go on stretches with those kind of lineups, they are screwed.
Yeah, that was one thing he did well, I felt like, the majority of the season pre-hiatus, he would take like he would take out like Tatum and Brown early, or Tatum and Kemba early, something like that. He would take two of those guys out, and then he would bring in the subs relatively early, and that was kind of his way of combating not having any bench scoring. But now it seems it's just like you said, he's just doing something completely different, where it's one of those guys out there with Marcus Smart. And yeah, he's a decent scoring option, and there are some nights where he looks as good as anybody out there when he catches fire, but on a consistent basis and then during a playoff stretch, you don't want to have him be one of those guys out there where you're relying on him to be your second source of offense. It's just not going to work.
and especially against, you know, I've been watching other teams play during the hiatus. During the bubble thing, regular season stuff. Right now it would be slated if, you know, obviously we're talking future, but if they have a 3 seed, Toronto's a 2 seed, that's a tough second round matchup. I don't like that matchup at all. I'd rather play the Bucks. So
if you're the Celtics right now?
Yes, I don't want to play Toronto. And the funny thing is, and I'll admit it, I was the one at the beginning of the season, I didn't think Toronto was gonna be that good, but damn. They don't have a superstar. I believe that. I'll say when I was wrong.
Well, I remember watching the ring ceremony. We were watching it as we're recording an episode, and you're like, man, how did Kawhi win with this team?
Yeah, because you wouldn't think like they would be as good as they are losing a guy like Kawhi, right? You automatically think there's a drop off. I honestly think they're the best team in the East, and I would not be surprised if they win in the East. They don't have a superstar, but they just. It's what, like, you know, we say the Celtics are deep. No, they are deep. Like, they have guys that can come off the bench and legit score. The Celtics don't have that. Right. And I think that's a very scary second-round matchup. Obviously, we'd have to get past the first round anyway, but I don't know. I was just thinking about the today. I'd rather play the Bucks because I think the Bucks are a little overrated. And, like, yeah. You know –
I think they've been exposed a little bit inside this bubble. Definitely. And then the Celtics are going to get them. That's the next game we're going to be talking about. The next game for the Celtics is on Friday at 9, and it's against the Raptors. So we're going to get a real good feel where things are for them. And I'm assuming we're going to see Kemba Walker back. Obviously, we don't expect him to play off the back-to-back. And Steven said that on Tuesday that he wasn't going to play. Yeah, you're right, Matt. They're a scary team. And when you talk about depth, yeah, the Celtics have, you know, four guys who can go out and score for you in the starting lineup. And Tice is a solid role player. We've said it all season long. He is an ideal big off the bench. And then Marcus Smart's obviously a good guy to have off the bench, but you don't have that starting big that you can really trust.
They have no interior defense. I love Tice, but there's no interior defense.
Right. If he was your second guy, if he was your big off the bench, then and you had a guy who was you could trust more ahead of him, then that would change things drastically. But yeah, and you're going to go against a Bucks team that has Pascal and it has Gasol. I just think that this is going to be the biggest test for them that we see. And we were talking about our bubble preview episode, we were talking about how the Celtics have, they were, I think the over-under for wins for them in the bubble was 5.5. The Raptors was one of the games that we thought if they're going to lose a game, one of them would probably be against the Raptors. I don't see how they win that game at all, with Raptors are playing.
I, to be honest with you, If I was picking, I'm going to pick the Celtics to win strictly because the Raptors haven't lost in the bubble and they're due for a loss. Right? I just think they're due for a below average game. That's just me. I'm saying in a series, right now I'm picking Toronto to win this series. I'm just saying on Friday that'd be my pick just because if you're a betting man, you're just going to bet that eventually they're going to cool off because they've been literally just manhandling teams.
Right. So going into this matchup, aside from the fact that they're due to cool off, is there anybody in particular that you're looking for and how they're going to perform? Okay.
Yes, Tatum and Brown, because I've been very – obviously Tatum had a bad first game, but I've been very impressed. Like Jaylen Brown, and that's your guy, has been very – I've been very impressed with Jaylen Brown. Yes,
outstanding.
He's been very, very fun to watch. I'm saying them because – what Toronto has that scares me is they have big perimeter defenders that can guard. So I want to see how easy it is for them to score in this game. Both guys, Tatum and Brown. I would say those two. I would say Kemba, but you know, the minute restriction, I think he's played pretty well with his minute restrictions, like in the time he's played. And then I would say
Smart and Hayward are two big ones for me right now with this.
Yeah. I think with Toronto also as an event, like Ibaka and Marc Gasol are really good anchors. Like, I don't know. We don't have that, I feel like.
No.
You know?
No, no, you don't have that. I see. Okay. So Tatum is the one that is. He obviously had the foul trouble early in this game, and I want to know what he's going to do when, you know, when he's again going against the team that you're going to have to go through to get to the Bucks if you want to have a chance at playing in the finals. So, and he's obviously been up and down throughout all this. Jaylen Brown, I think we're seeing what we've seen so far from him. Yeah, he may have an off night or whatever, but he's going to work through it. I think he's kind of found his stride and everything, and I trust that he's going to stay on his course. When you talk about the anchors in the paint, every time with Kemba Walker, especially after the whole knee thing and everything, I always think back to that Clippers game in LA where he had so much trouble on the inside, and that was when he was healthy and feeling good and everything. You go against the Raptors now when they have their anchors and they have Pascal Siakam too. I just wonder what that's going to look like. But I haven't been overly pleased with how Marcus Smart has looked in all this. And then with Hayward, where we see him have, you know, a pretty good game against the Heat, and he did well against the Blazers. Again, this against the Nets, that doesn't mean shit. What is he going to look like against the Raptors, a legit team where you may need him to step up if Kemba's not on his game and if Tatum struggles? And then Smart just – I don't think he's looked that great on either end of the floor so much.
Did you notice – and it could just be because the Nets are a JV team. Did you notice that, like, they go under screens when Gordon has the ball? Did you notice that? Like, I noticed
I didn't notice that.
I mean, and they did it like three or four times, and he only hit one of them, but they were good shots. But Scal had said something on the broadcast, but I was like, yeah, that's weird. I don't know if it was just, again, JV team playing us, because I'd have to go back and see the other games if they were doing that to him. But like, it was like they were daring him to shoot. Like, you don't go under a screen.
I'd be curious who was it that was guarding him on those plays, because if it was getting switched off, if it was LeVert,
no, they weren't switching.
Okay. So if that's LeVert defending him, or if it's Luwalu Cabarro defending him, then I'd read into that. But if it's some of the other guys, maybe not as much, because even though TLC played in the G League this year, he's a pretty good defender, and obviously LeVert's a good defender too.
Well, my point is, if you're switching,
yeah.
You'd obviously go under the screen to switch with a guy, but they weren't going underneath to switch. They were trying to like go underneath and meet him on the other side. So, which made me wonder. I'm like, did they just daring Gordon to shoot?
Yeah.
Which I still feel like he should be a better 3-point shooter than he is. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he consistently shoots them. Now again, he doesn't get as many volume as shots, but yeah, I don't know. I just noticed that tonight, so I'd be curious. Going into Friday,
well, he seems to pass up on him a lot too. It's like the opportunities are there, but again, that's Tyler always says, who couldn't stay up tonight to take his victory lap on Romeo Langford. He says all the time, Gordon makes the smart play. Well, sometimes that smart play is him pulling up from three. But that's interesting. So we got to look for that in the Raptors game too, because I did not catch that.
Gordon's definitely deferred to Tatum and Brown. I mean, obviously, is like he knows he's. Either he knows he's on their level, or I don't know what it is, but he obviously defers to them.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So. But still, that's an interesting thing that I did not catch. That's why we have you here, Matt. All right. Anything else on the JV Nets before we get going?
I have to watch everything Gordon Hayward now because of my take on him.
All right. We will talk to you all again on Friday.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be alright with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.